Narayanam namaskritam naram chaivam narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam dato jayam udirayat nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utam shloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Ukam Karoti Bhakshalam Bangam Bangaya Degirim Yat Kripa Taram Bande Shri Guru Dinatarane. We're reading from the third canto, 24th chapter, 27th text, the renunciation of Kardama Muni. Aho Papachyamananam. Aho Papachyamananam. Niraye Svaira Mangalai. Niraye svaira mangalai kalena buyasanunam kalena buyasanunam prasidanti hadevata prasidanti hadevata aho pachyamananam Niyare svaira mangalai Kalena buyasanunam Vasidanti hadevata Hopa pachyamananam Niyare svaira mangalai Kalena buyasanunam Prasidanti Adevata Aho Papachyamananam Niraye Svaira Mangalai Kalena Buyasanunam Prasidanti Adevata Translation Kardava Muni said Repeat, Kardama Muni said, Oh, after a long time, the demigods of this universe have become pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. Translation again by Srila Prabhupada. Kardama Muni said, Oh, after a long time, the demigods of this universe have become pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This material world is a place for suffering, which is due to the misdeeds of the inhabitants. The conditioned souls themselves. The sufferings are not extraneously imposed upon them. Rather, the conditioned souls create their own suffering by their own acts. In the forest, fire takes place automatically. It is not that someone has to go there and set a fire. Because of friction among various trees, fire occurs automatically. When there is too much heat from the forest fire of this material world, the demigods, including Lord Brahma himself, being harassed, approach the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and appeal to him to alleviate the condition. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends. In other words, when the demigods become distressed by the sufferings of the conditioned souls, they approach the Lord to remedy the sufferings. And the Personality of Godhead descends when the Lord descends. I'm going to take this off. When the Lord descends, all the demigods become enlivened. Therefore, Kardama Muni said, after many, many years of human suffering, all the demigods are now satisfied because Kapiladeva, the incarnation of Godhead, has appeared. In the purport to this verse, Prabhupada says that the demigods become pleased with the conditioned souls. But they're not exactly pleased by the conditioned souls. They are pleased because Krishna, in the incarnation of Lord Kapiladeva, is going to appear. The Lord does not personally appear very often. He and Lord Chaitanya come only in one kalpa, during the time of one kalpa. But his incarnations appear more often. Krishna himself appears in times of emergency. He says, Paritranaya sadhanam vinachaya chadushkritam and yada yada hi dharmasya. In Bhagavad Gita, he says that he appears to paritranaya sadhunam, to uphold the sadhus, and vinachaya chadushkritam, to annihilate the miscreants, and dharma samstapanartayo, to reestablish dharma. Then he comes, sambhavami yuge yuge, and yada yada hi dharmasya, glanir bhavati bharata. So Krishna himself comes in times of emergency. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, it was a time of emergency. Lord Advaita appealed to the Lord to come. The demigods knew that the Lord was going to come, so they took birth on the earth planet because they were very pleased. Ordinarily, the demigods are not personally involved in human affairs. They consider that human beings, because of their own misdeeds, are like what Maharaj Virata once called pawns in a chess game. Pawns in a chess game. I don't know if you know what that means in Russian. Pawns in a chess game. When King Virata was playing chess with Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was in disguise for 1 year in the form of Kank, Maharaj Virata was explaining to Kang how the demigods see human beings. And Maharaj Yudhisthira agreed that the demigods see human beings as pawns. Sometimes they are well behaved, And sometimes they are misbehaved. So they are not too concerned with them. But when Krishna appears himself, or in his incarnation like Lord Kapila Dev, the demigods take great pleasure in the conditioned souls. Just, it's like when one is winning a chess game, one is very happy with his pawns. So the demigods were all very happy to take birth on the earth planet during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and during the time of Krishna's manifest pastimes in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. Prabhupada once said that Krishna feels a little bit sad that the conditioned souls are suffering so much in the material world. Of course, he is very detached from everything in the material world. That is his unique position. Krishna is not touched by material entanglement. He is completely in the spiritual realm. But he feels a little bit sad that so many conditioned souls are exercising their freedom in the wrong way. Therefore, they're called duskritinas. They have some power, they have some merit, but they're using it in the wrong way. Therefore, they are called duskritinas. There are many intelligent conditioned souls, but they are using their intelligence in the wrong way. They are using their freedom in the wrong way. People think they have a great deal of freedom. They have many choices. They can choose different types of clothing. They can choose different kinds of banking. They can choose different colors of automobiles and various other consumer goods. And they are very happy when they can go and shop. They are very happy when they are wealthy and famous and beautiful. But mostly the conditioned souls are using these facilities to improve their own material conditions. When they are very successful, they think they are very powerful and they have exercised the right choices. So this is called the spirit of enjoyment. The spirit of renunciation is looked down upon. They think that the pilgrims that are doing Dandavat Parikram around Govardhan Hill are very foolish. Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. They think that these people are wasting their lives. So in the material world, there will always be opposition to the Krishna consciousness devotees. When devotees were living in Mumbai, they were sleeping on bamboo, straw mats, on the mud, in small shacks, on the Juhu property. Sometimes big rats would climb over their bodies at night. But Prabhupada told them they should stay there. They built a small temporary shrine-like temple on the land. Then a Mr. Nair bribed some municipal officials and they destroyed the temple. They used large hammers and they destroyed it. Then they started to burn the metal poles that were holding up the concrete walls. When they were burning the metal supports, one very materialistic man who lived across the street on Gandhigram Road came outside of his house and he started to laugh. Then one devotee's mother was on the Juhu land, shouted out at him, "Now you are laughing, but just like these poles, you will die by fire." Not much later, this very same man poured kerosene, petrol, gasoline over his body and lit himself alight and died by committing suicide. Wow. This was in 1973 in September. And I came to India for the first time then. And the only thing remaining in that small shrine was a little wooden house that housed the deities of Rasa Vihari. One American lady stopped the Gundas. She said, "If you will have to kill me before you can destroy the deities." So the devotees persisted and they stayed in that land. And one man named Mr. Sethi came with a crew of men to reconstruct that small temple in Juhu. And in one week only, 7 days, they completely reconstructed the small temple shrine. And Mr. Sethi sat in a chair for 1 week with a shotgun to protect the construction work. Sometimes he slept, but he always had his rifle by his side. So the devotees persisted and stayed on that land. And even though that man, Mr. Nair, had cheated seven other people in the same way. Prabhupada's mission of constructing a temple on Juhu became victorious. This shows how there will always be opposition to the Krishna consciousness movement. This is a symptom of Krishna consciousness being bona fide. And sometimes Krishna incarnates in various incarnations, as I was mentioning. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krita Yadya Yato Vishnu Dvapare Parichayayam Kalota Dari Kirtanam, Krita Yayato Vishnu, that in the age of Kali, Krishna will incarnate as Harinam, as the holy name. Tretayam Yajatomakai. In that Treta Yuga, he came as a different way. In the Satya Yuga, They were great penance. People used to be able to meditate for 70,000 years. In Treta Yuga and in Dwapar Yuga, people had great sacrifices. There was very elaborate temple worship. But in Kali Yuga, Krishna descends as the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, even though there is always opposition, Krishna is always victorious because he is present in his holy name. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya came, he said, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Baba Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam Vidyavaru Jivanam Ananda Mudivardanam Paripatam Purnam Rikasvaranam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. He said that everyone is waiting for the holy name. It is the nectar that everyone is most anxious for. And Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, that the holy name will always be victorious. And in the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara, Tatro Shri Vijayo Budhir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. There wherever there is Krishna, there will always be victory. Sometimes opposition can help us to realize that devotees are very sincere. Even when Krishna was personally present, he spent most of his childhood killing demons. When the holy name is chanted, some people will naturally be irritated. The residents of Juhu used to call the early Harinam Sankirtans a nuisance, a botheration, something they didn't like. But in the end, Srila Prabhupada's mission was victorious. Greatly victorious. So Krishna consciousness means that there will often be struggling and fighting. In the Bhagavad Gita itself, there was a great struggle. Sometimes people cannot understand how there can be warfare when Krishna is present. But the whole message of the Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna was convincing Arjuna that he must obey him. So it's important that we pray to Krishna and surrender to Krishna, not to Ganesh, not to Lord Brahma, not to Lord Shiva, not to Lord Indra, not to Lord Durga, not to Lord Saraswati, not to Lakshmi. They are very great devotees. But the devotee is always in a higher position because a devotee tries to divest himself or herself from any attachment to the material world. All the demigods have a little trace of attachment, so they're given a very big position to create the world, or to master learning, or to destroy the world, or to maintain the world. But devotees of Krishna are always in the greater position. Prahlad Maharaj was a surrendered soul to Lord Krishna. And he was shown to be in a greater position than Lord Brahma. Actually, Lord Nrisimhadev chastised Lord Brahma for making so many conditions for pacifying Hiranyakashipu, for telling him that he could not be killed by day or night. He granted him that boon. He granted him the boon that he could not be killed by a human being or an animal. He granted him the boon that he could not be killed by day or by night. He granted him the boon that he could not be killed by any weapons. Indoors or outdoors. He granted him the boon that he could not be killed in the air or on the land. So Lord Nrisimhadev chastised him very mildly. He rebuked him. He said, you should not give out these benedictions so easily. He was a little bit cross with Lord Brahma. But with Prahlad Maharaj, he instantly granted him his desire. Prahlad Maharaj asked that you liberate my father. So Lord Nrisimhadev said, not only will I liberate your father, but I will liberate his grandfather and his grandfather back 12 generations. And forward 12 generations. In other parts of Prabhupada's books, he says 50 generations and 100 generations. Forward and backward. So the demigods are not so concerned with the conditioned soul. But the devotee is very concerned. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is always paraduka duki. He is concerned with the sufferings of the conditioned souls. He is so afflicted with the conditions, with the suffering conditioned souls, that he sacrifices his own life in order to alleviate their suffering. This is the meaning of preaching Krishna consciousness. I will open many temples, distribute many books, hold many festivals, distribute lots of prasadam, sing the holy name everywhere, all over the world, because I want to benedict the conditioned souls. Simply by hearing Krishna's name once, or touching Krishna's book, or coming into contact with Krishna's devotee, or hearing the holy name, the conditioned souls will benefit. So devotees are very eager to preach Krishna consciousness to alleviate the suffering of the conditioned souls. They are not satisfied with their own happiness. They want everybody to be happy. This is the nature of a Mahatma. A Kripana wants only his own liberation and does not get past the Kanista platform. But a Majjhima Adhikari wants to preach. That becomes, like Prabhupada, the life and soul of a devotee. I'll stop there. Prabhupada's translation reads, Kardama Muni said, oh, after a long time the demigods of this universe have become pleased with the suffering souls who are in material entanglement because of their own misdeeds. So, anyone want to speak? Ask? The people who do Dandavat Parikram are very inspirational. They achieve more than moksha. They are surrendering to Krishna. And therefore, they are attaining perfection as human beings. This is an act of surrender, doing a dandavat parikram. Is this a way of circumambulating Krishna himself? So these are great souls. Of course, yeah. So his question was, what kind of liberation does Hiranyakashipu and his father and grandfather get? Of course, the moksha, or liberation, does not necessarily always mean perfection. Madhvacharya defined liberation as attaining one's original position at the lotus feet of Krishna. But when we say liberation, it does not always mean that. Perfect liberation is when we attain the lotus feet of Krishna in our original position. But one can also be liberated in as a Paramatma Yogi or as a Brahmanandi. So the moksha is not perfection. Attaining prema bhakti, that is perfection. So this is the goal of a devotee, to obtain prema bhakti, to obtain the lotus feet of Krishna, or perfect liberation, not just any kind of liberation, not just moksha. In 1974, Vinod Bhave, he's a famous man in India, some sort of spiritual leader. I don't know if he's still alive. Vinod Bhave. But he made a declaration that he said, I'm not going to give any more instruction to institutions. I'm going to simply concentrate on moksha. But what is moksha? Moksha does not necessarily mean perfection. And when Prabhupada heard that Vinod Bhave had made this announcement, that he now wants to obtain moksha, he said, why didn't he want it before? This means that he has misled all of his followers for all these years. And only now he is saying, I want moksha. Why didn't he say it before? Of course, Prabhupada said that is good, that he wants moksha. But he was also very critical, that it was coming very late in life for this man, who was supposed to be a great teacher, and who had many thousands of followers. Where the difference is that from the beginning, Srila Prabhupada said, you must attain prema bhakti, and you must chant the holy name. And if you chant the holy name sincerely, you will become purified, and you will attain the perfection of liberation. This also means that Krishna hears our prayers. He's not so far away and impersonal that he doesn't hear what we are saying, or that he doesn't know what we are thinking. So if we pray for our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, Krishna hears those prayers, and they have meaning. Maybe not as much as Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a Nityasiddha, pure devotee, Uttama Adhikari Paramahansa, but still, those prayers will have great effect. Because at least we're trying to be Krishna conscious. At least we're trying to be pure devotees. We're trying to become Paramahansas and Uttama Adhikaris. That is our goal. Is it not? Her question was, if we pray for our own family members, our own sons and daughters and parents, but they don't want to be liberated or to be Krishna consciousness, what is the use? Is that right? So, the holy name is very powerful. Mahanidhi Swami told me that when Prabhupada was preparing to go to the West, that he wanted to establish a youth hostel in the United States. And according to Mahanidhi, he was saying that even if people were meat eaters, I would allow them to stay in this hostel, provided they would chant the Hare Krishna mantra sincerely. He was convinced that anyone who sincerely chants the Hare Krishna mantra will give up all bad habits. So convinced he was about the power of the holy name. Prabhupada told us directly, and I heard this myself, that we should pray for our parents and other family members. This means that these prayers are very powerful. Even if people don't want to be Krishna conscious. Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Gornitai, Kijai. Even if people don't want to be Krishna conscious, these prayers by Prabhupada's followers are very powerful. And as we have our own experience, we see that even stone-hearted people who are very atheistic, they can change. They can become devotional. How many of us were eating meat, Westerners? How many of us were sinful? How many of us thought Krishna was some fairy tale, some imagination, or how many of us even hated Krishna before? But then something happened. We saw a book, or somebody preached to us, or we came into contact with devotees, and we changed. So people can change. They may not change in this lifetime, but simply by hearing the holy name even once, and by being prayed for by relatives and friends, the effect is extremely powerful. And even the heart, even stone hearts can become melted. Just like some of the rocks, some of the Shilas were melted by the touch of Krishna's feet and the touch of Krishna's calf. So the stone hearts of materialists can be melted and they can become devotees. That's what preaching is all about. If everybody was already a devotee, there would be no need to preach. But because so many people are They're very proud of their own misdeeds. There is a great field out there, a great field for propagating Krishna consciousness. There are, what is it, 6 billion human beings on this planet? How many are devotees? Not very many. Very small percentage. So we have a lot of work to do. So, I got to stop now, and then we'll have a little meeting at 10:30 with the Russian devotees who came. Till 1:30. So, after prasad. Okay, thank you very much. Vaisibo. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.